Next, we're going to hear from Irene Cornell, also of WCBS Radio.
Thank you very much for allowing me to think about and tell a few things about Mary Gay. She is truly in my heart. She's probably one of my oldest friends. I met her in the very, very earliest 70s at WCBS, and we quickly became fast friends. We were very different because there is no other Mary Gay Taylor. But we were such good friends. I remember one of her great first ideas was that we should get our ears pierced together, because neither one of us wanted to do it alone, but we very much wanted to wear all the earrings we really liked. So I said, fine, sure, let's do it. And Mary Gay said, well, I will research this project. Now, we all know that Mary Gay would research a story to within an inch of its life, but I didn't know this extended to every one of Mary Gay's endeavors. So weeks went by, weeks, finally a month, time went by. I figured, oh, she's forgotten about this. One day she came to me and said, I have found the place where we can get our ears pierced. So I went along with Mary Gay, and we went to the Upper East Side and to a very fancy salon where you had to sign a guest book when you entered. And I saw that one of the names there was Jackie Kennedy. This was where she got her ears pierced. Then I understood why we were there. So we were escorted into a little ear-piercing room by a bald, rotund gentleman who sat us down and then began to regale Mary Gay with stories of the clients who really came there for nipple piercings. I never saw Mary Gay look so shocked in her. And he didn't let up. But by the time we got our ears done, it didn't hurt at all. And we were very happy to escape with everything else intact. And forever after, Mary Gay and I gave each other earrings on Christmas, just to keep that memory alive. And her ideas got better as the years went on. She decided that we should rent a house together on Shelter Island along with Jerry Nachman. Now that's quite a crew. So we did that, and we would have midnight volleyball games in the front yard with the car headlights illuminating our playing field. And these games usually ended with my little daughter, Kati, who was 4 years old at the time, sleeping on the front porch, and somebody going to the hospital later on. The games were intense. Think of all the fun with Mary Gay, the time she sailed to Shelter Island with Charlie Osgood and his wife, and Ted Fury, who was a producer at our station. And when she got to Shelter Island, she complained that they wouldn't let her up on deck the entire trip, and it had been days. And we never really knew why they wouldn't let Mary Gay up on deck. But when she left the island, Jerry Nachman and I got tied together some bed sheets and made a huge banner that said, "Let MGT up on deck." And as the boat left Shelter Island, we ran to the highest cliff, held it up, and I think they let her at least have a breath of fresh air. But those are just some of my thoughts about Mary Gay, who will always be my dearest friend in my heart. Thank you very much.
I want to say we've also been joined by Councilmember Gail Brewer. And now I'm going to call up, and I apologize if I don't get your last name correct, Dr. Maria Theodulo.
It's an honor for me to be here tonight, listening to all of these stories and these descriptions about Mary Gay's career and her tenacity and her fairness and her kindness. Because I can tell you very, very honestly, I knew a very different Mary Gay. I was privileged with Ron Blum to treat Mary Gay for her breast cancer. I knew her for the past 6 years intimately. She was fair. She came in with her questions, never demanded a cure, but she did demand that she live a life with her breast cancer. She was fair in the sense that she never held us accountable or was mad at us when we gave her bad news, and there were many times when we did. She took the news, she listened to it, asked her appropriate questions, often on a list yay long, and once satisfied, we'd go on and talk about other things. We talked about planting tomatoes. We talked about seeds. She always wore her earrings to every one of the visits. She talked about living her life, never stood concrete on any of her previous glory, but wanted to make sure that she would live a glorious life for whatever time she had left. We can say that she was courageous, and we can just say the word, but she was more than just courageous. She was the word with capital letters. She never complained. She was always compliant. She did what she thought was the appropriate thing to do after much discussion, and went on and moved forward whether it failed, and rejoiced when it succeeded. She made an impression on every one of her caretakers, on every one of her friends who helped take care of her. And yes, she did keep her breast cancer and its relapse quiet, not because she was in denial or because she was ashamed or because she didn't want anyone to know, but she wanted to be treated as fairly in the medical arena as she wanted to be treated in her professional arena. She didn't really want anyone to pity her. And she wanted to be treated just like the women who were never going to succumb to their disease who were with her in the waiting room. She was going to believe that she was going to survive this disease for every single moment she had ahead of her. And that was not only her glory, not only her courage, but that was the testimony that she left behind to all of us. She is sitting in that corner. And she's certainly going to continue sitting in my waiting room. And she'll always be in my tomato garden. And every time I look at earrings, I'll think about her, and now I'll know why. But this was a woman who wanted to fight the disease, speak about it openly, compartmentalize her life, so within that compartment, she could live that portion of her life very, very richly. She survived 2 decades of breast cancer, lived a quality of life up until the very end. And when she asked me if there was going to be another tomato season, and she knew that I would never lie to her or condescend or make things light, and I told her that I did not think there would be another tomato season, she was ready, and she died peacefully with her family in the place that she loved so much up in Vermont. Mary Gay lived a successful life. She died a successful death. And for that, she should be remembered. And for that, we should hold the banner to stand up straight, remember her always, remember the disease that was not fair to her, but that she ultimately did beat. Thank you for allowing me to be here with all of you, her family, her friends, her colleagues.
Thank you. I want to say we've also been joined by Councilmember Robert Jackson and by our Parks Commissioner, Adrian Benepi. Our next speaker is Adelaide Villmore from Vassar College.
You will recognize some themes and there will be some differences. When I read the WCVS tributes to Mary Gay, I realized there was a whole side to her I did not know. I had heard about her experiences on 9/11, in such a low-key way that I never fully appreciated what had happened to her that day. The tough, at the right place, don't you take my story reporter was not the Mary Gay I knew over the last 35 years. I knew the mad gardener who loved poppies, protected her and everybody else's trees, and watched, I think, every individual bud and sprout arriving around her house in Vermont in the springtime. Those of us who sat around her pool in Vermont wished she would take out a large number of trees to provide more sun. But the trees and the profusion of flowers around the pool took priority over human wishes. We learned that our children should be careful not to splash the flowers at the edge of the deck, but we also knew that children were always welcome to swim. Generous of spirit and practice, Mary Gay was deeply attentive to her parents and her friends. I did spend pleasant hours lounging around the pool, but I do not remember Mary Gay ever sitting. Something always needed to be weeded, transplanted, nursed, pruned, or potted. And when it was bean season, she picked and picked and picked, because beans had to be plucked at the perfect moment of ripeness. One of the main conduits of my friendship with Mary Gay and her sister Peggy has been food. My experience is a little bit different from Mitch Lamb's experience. We dined together on occasions of birthdays, French restaurants for those occasions, and on no occasions, French restaurants for those as well. Mary Gay, with that slim, lanky, elegant body, relished those beans from her garden, a taste of every course and every dish served in a restaurant. And the thought of food, even when toward the end of her life, she could not really eat. Even then, she enjoyed the applesauce made from her apple trees, those trees so coddled and protected from bears and deer. This fall was the best ever season for her apple trees. Mary Gay, I knew, was consistently sweet and gentle, although certainly never a pushover. She was going to protect those trees. But what was clear was the tenacious, quiet, understated guts she had. Resisting discussion of the trials of her cancer and the treatments for it, and continuing her concern for her mother, Mary Gay lived her life and died in the place she most loved, in the woods, in her house in Vermont.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank the staff of the City Council's Member Services Division who helped organize this event today. I'd like to ask everyone who's here if they could make sure they sign the book in the back. There is a reception, food and a reception in the rotunda, which everyone is welcomed to attend. And I just want to, on behalf of myself, Mayor Koch, Deputy Mayor Schuyler, Mayor Bloomberg, Speaker Vallone, say, you know, if you were writing the story of her life, it would be a great story. And all of us here in City Hall are honored to have been a small part of that story and honored to have been a small part of her life. And we are, all of us in city government, very grateful and privileged that you all took the time to be with us today and to share with us other parts of her life and her story that we had never heard before. And I just want to assure all of you that all of us in city government were deeply impacted by Mary Gay. I believe we're all impacted by what we learned about her life and death today, and we will carry that with us throughout the rest of our time in government and try to live up to the example that she set for all of us during her time in this building. So thank you all, and we should all go outside and eat food that would be better than what Rich would have bought for her.